again. I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down.
Oh, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, October 10th, 2007 edition of The American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you, hopefully, for the next 2 hours. I want to thank everybody for bearing with me. I've been a little bit under the weather. I don't know whether it's a flu or what. It kind of comes and goes, but I've got a really splitting headache today, and nothing seems to work. Guest coming up today, Jim Kerwin. Had a lot of requests for a repeat appearance of Jim. He's got a lot of good things to say, and I thought I'd have him up in, have him up in today and continue our conversation. It was a really good show last week. You know, I'm looking at mainstream news here. Remember when this whole thing came out, and it may still be going on, I don't pay much attention, but remember when this big thing hit with Rush Limbaugh and the phony soldiers, and the Democrats were up in arms about it, and yada, 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 and there's been a lot of controversy going on about it and so forth. I went into to track, I go in once in a while to monitor websites to see how everybody's website is doing as far as hits, and I happened to go into Rush Limbaugh's website just to see, because his website hits had been lagging of late. He's been losing his audience member for quite some time. And it is my opinion, after going in and looking at his website this morning, that this whole thing about the phony soldiers was more to boost his ratings than anything else. Because do you know that the hits on Rush Limbaugh's website since he came out with that phony soldiers line has tripled in the last week? I think that's rather amazing. At any rate, real quick, I want to remind you guys, John Stadtmiller had a great idea. And by the way, if Sandra or Julie are listening, John mentioned to me last week that he was going to send me a couple of bumper stickers to put on my vehicles, and as yet I have not gotten them. And if you guys would please send me out a couple of stickers, because I want to put them on my car. We have the free book on the Constitution and the Citizens Rule Book. All you have to do is call Julie or Sandra at 800-724-2719 and ask to have it sent out. The only catch, if you will, and maybe a caveat, because you could get arrested, I don't know, is that we're going to send you a bumper sticker or two, depends on how many vehicles you have, just specify that to Julie or Sandra. And we want them to. We want you to put them on your car. It's a way to wake people up, folks. We need now more than ever. We need to wake people up. Want to remind everybody of my website, www.theamericanawakening.org. Quick note on Ed Brown. I've got the got a little clip up there on Congressman Hansen for the report that he gave us a while back on diesel therapy. Ed Brown is still, according to the Bureau of Prisons website, he is still not in the custody of the Bureau of Prisons. And it's been 6 days now. He still isn't there. And I'll tell you, it's really starting to concern me because as I was perusing through on the website this morning, looking for the news of the day, top story, Bush is given the authority to sexually torture American children. And I may just get into that a little bit today because they've been doing this for a while now. If you remember a few years ago, John Woo came out in congressional hearings and admitted that they do it. Well, now they've made it legal and they've got the go-ahead from Congress. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with me. Got a good show for you today with Jim Kerwin. Be right back.
Thank you. The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Back, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from hot Phoenix, Arizona, with no air conditioning as my apartment turns it off on October the 8th. This is really wonderful. Before I get to my guests, I want to make one other quick announcement. I had the pleasure of talking to Randy Weaver this morning on the phone, and he confirmed another book order that we got. And I want to remind everybody to go on my website, www.theamericanawakening.org. I advertise Randy's book on there, and I'm also going to post a short video clip of a documentary of Randy Weaver. I highly recommend you buy the book, folks, and so you can kind of walk through the tragedy that happened to him. And also it helps support me and pay my expenses here. So please, if you would, go in and buy the book. Buy one for your friends, neighbors, or relatives, or whatever. I would appreciate that. Without any further ado, let us go to my guest, Jim Kerwin. Jim, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Michael.
How are you today, sir?
Fine.
I had spoken with you a little bit off the air this morning, and you mentioned to me you were going to send me a quick email. And guess what? I still have not gotten one.
I've sent you three more replies. I don't know whether it's on your end or mine, but somebody doesn't want us to communicate.
You know, and it doesn't surprise me because, as I mention on my show all the time, I'm getting several hits from very interesting individuals. I'm also starting to get hate mail. And as we turn up the heat on the powers that be and we expose them for their evil and dirty deeds, you know, it seems like they don't like that too much and they want to respond. But they do that very covertly, very evilly, if you will. And you're not the first individual that I've found that has sent me emails and complained that, you know, know, I never got back to them, and I find that I'd say probably 20 to 30% of the time I'm not getting the emails that are sent me. So I apologize for that. At any rate, I know that the subject content that you wanted to go into first today was in said email, so I don't have that in front of me. I'm going to allow you to start, Jim, if you would.
Okay. I recently wrote an article called Back to the Future. And in it, I was talking about something related to the administration and the chain of command. What I neglected to mention was the fact that on the, let's see, June 1st, 2001, the duties of the commander-in-chief were modified internally. They undercut the chain of command and removed Bush from any responsibility whatsoever in the event of an attack of this kind upon the nation. And I thought that that particular bit of information might be interesting to somebody, because everything that Bush has done militarily, he's been doing under the cover of being the commander-in-chief. If he's not the commander-in-chief, if he does not have those responsibilities, and it appears that he does not, then all of this amounts to some kind of a very strange fraud or a deception at the very least, and it's got to be unconstitutional. That's kind of what I wanted to talk about today.
Okay, so what you're asserting here is that, and I believe you gave a date of like, what was it, June of 2001?
Yes, June 1st.
Where, yeah, they had changed this over. So all of this garbage, this propaganda that we see George Bush spewing out, those that do have a TV, about I'm the decider and I'm going to tell you and I'll make the decision, it's all BS. Mm-hmm. He's not deciding anything. He's being told what to decide, and he's relaying the message. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Go ahead and continue.
Well, just so you know that this isn't just something I made up, it came from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Instruction is CJSI3610.01A, dated 1 June 2001, was issued to provide guidance to the Deputy Director of Operations, National Military Command Center, and operational commanders in the event of an aircraft piracy or request for destruction of derelict airborne objects. The new instruction superseded the one that was made on the 31st of July, 1997. And it means that the President of the United States from that day forward was no longer responsible for attacks of this nature upon the USA. Executive decisions in this regard are now being made by Donald Rumsfeld, who was then the U.S. Secretary of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a pretender in the White House meaningless.
Well, okay, so Donald Rumsfeld was making these decisions. Now, I just ran across an article today. Now, Donald Rumsfeld was the Secretary of Defense, but supposedly stepped down, and then Bob Gates has taken over.
Right.
And I ran across an article today. I want to see if I can find it here. That Bob Gates is basically in conflict with the administration over an attack on Iran. Did you see that?
Not yet.
Well, let's see. I'll tell you what. Go ahead and continue on here. I'm going to see if I can find it during the break, because I ran across this morning, and I think that I saved it. But my next question would be, you know, in your mind, you know, in signing this order, okay, it's Donald Rumsfeld that supposedly is making decisions, but he's stepped down, so that would be Bob Gates. Now,
It was the office, Michael, and it's not the man. I mean,
okay.
I named Rumsfeld because he was the man at the time, but the change to the chain of command shifted responsibility from the commander-in-chief to the Secretary of Defense, which is rather bizarre. That you cannot do that constitutionally. The Constitution gave the powers of commander-in-chief to the president for a very good reason, and for him to allow that to be delegated violates his oath of office, violates the Constitution. It's absolutely incredible, and nobody seems to understand the importance of the size of this kind of a change. And the whole thing was apparently kept from Congress as well as the people, because Congress then turned around and gave the commander-in-chief all these new freedoms to attack anybody on the planet that might possibly present a threat at some time to the United States, according to the thinking of the commander-in-chief. But in each case, the privileges accorded by the Congress to the commander-in-chief were all given thinking that it was the president. Turns out it wasn't the president. They gave it to the wrong guy. So, and it wouldn't have flown had everybody known that it was the new man in charge was the Secretary of Defense. I don't think.
Well, that's absolutely amazing. This was done in June of 2001. I'm trying to piece together in my mind how that ties in with Cheney's bunker incident with Norman Mineta. Was Cheney being ordered by Rumsfeld or vice versa?
Good question. It's a wonder. How come none of this stuff came up with 9/11, the 9/11 Commission? How is it that they can actually have done this in the articles that I have just cited, from the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and all of these things that somehow or other nobody in the government was looking at when they were handing out responsibilities for the president to follow for the attack on 9/11?
Well, I'll tell you, I just found this, and it's an article, and it's probably about. It's called "War Clouds Loom Over, or Even More Menacingly Over Iran," and it's out of the Star Online. And as I scroll down here, let's see, I just found it. Oh, here we go. It says, however, Defense Secretary Robert Gates, and as all the listeners or most of the listeners know, he's the one that replaced Donald Rumsfeld, is believed to be pushing hardest against the war and is working with the directors of National Intelligence and the CIA to advise Bush against attacking Iran. Against them are pro-war neoconservatives led by Cheney. So it looks like Robert Gates has grown a brain, and he is in a contest with Dick Cheney, and who wins is,
ironies, Michael? Think about this. What if Secretary Gates were to discover that he actually is the commander in chief? He could call
it off. Maybe we should send him an email. What do you think?
Yeah.
And that would be, my listening audience, I give kudos to them because every time I get on, and I know they don't like to do this, and I don't either, but sometimes you have to when, Ted Pike or somebody comes on and says, well, we've got to call our congressmen, we've got to call our senators. All right, well, there's a good job for everybody. Let's all just bombard Bob Gates' office in the Pentagon with this order. And, you can give it out again and say, hey, by the way, are you aware that you're in charge? Are you aware that Dick Cheney is literally under you and you have the final decision based upon this order not to attack Iran? Maybe he doesn't know that.
This can be found in two articles of mine. One of them is called Finally a Single Truth Amid the Firestorm of Lies. It was written on 5/13/05. And the other one is was written on 3/31/04, and it's called From the Smoke and Flames, the Truth is Rising. Both of them are available on Rents.com. And if you have any difficulty with it, my website is on your site.
Right.
They can simply go to it, and they can find it by date. And they can listen to the tape of this and check that date. Find the article, all the specific stats they'll need to verify this are all listed in those two articles, and in it's cited in Back to the Future, which was 10/06/07. That's the most recent.
Okay, so let me just kind of get a grip on this in my head here. I mean, okay. Do you honestly think that it is, do you think it's likely or possible that Bob Gates doesn't know this? I find that highly unlikely.
He's an extremely bright man. And he's, the former director of the CIA, among other things. I would think that if such a thing was in fact operating, he would know this. He would have to know this.
So he would be in conflict with Cheney because yes, he did have the final say so, and Cheney's arguing with him because Cheney wants to attack. We're gonna take a break. We'll be back in three. We'll explore this a little bit more. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest Jim Kerwin. Stick with us. We got a lot more.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, Jim Kerwin. You know, during the break, the thought comes to mind, Jim, here we've got a guy who may evidently have a brain here, realize what the future would hold for an attack on Iran, and is stepping up to the plate and saying, no, wait a minute, I don't think this is a good idea. But the question that comes to my mind is, okay, obviously during with this order or whatever it is that you read off, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Is there somebody in the administration that outweighs him and is able to force him to step down? Because obviously, you know, him and Cheney, we know what Cheney's attitude is as far as Iran. So, you know, we've got we've definitely got a face-off going there with Cheney and Gates.
Think about Cheney for just a minute. That's a second case of outsourcing.
Do I have to think about Cheney for a minute?
I know it's painful.
Yeah, go ahead.
But here's the deal. Cheney's job is to negotiate ties in the Senate and wait for the president to become incapacitated or die. That's his only job. The president has given him much wider authority, apparently, and nobody has challenged that particular gift. my the irony behind all ironies is that if Cheney is the second outsourcing of presidential authority, in other words, the things he's given Cheney to do are the responsibilities of the President of the United States. They are not delegatable. The reason we have a president is to do the very things that Cheney is doing, to preside over foreign policy, to make the decisions about going to war. Those are his decisions and his decisions alone, the office of the president. The fact that we've got an imposter in there makes it a little more difficult. Mr. Gates, on the other hand, having come late to this particular party, may not be aware that his the man he replaced was tabbed to be to stand in for the president. It's the reason that Bush could go to Florida and read to second graders while the towers were burning, because he knew he had no responsibility. He was not part of it, and he was not going to be asked to do anything. In fact, he was specifically precluded, apparently, from doing anything. And this would explain the reason why he was in Florida reading to second graders instead of making the decisions that the president, commander-in-chief, is supposed to make. It's a very bizarre thing. And when I came back upon these old articles that I'd written, I kept thinking, well, why didn't this connect with anybody? Why? Well, maybe nobody saw it. I don't know. But it was out there. It was widely distributed. And I didn't hear anything more about it from any side. The government, people, nothing. Nobody seemed to believe that this actually happened. I admit at the time it was probably very hard to get the mind around because it's a huge allegation. It would be very interesting to see if somebody looks into this, what they actually find.
Well, I would be all for sending an email or a fax to Bob Gates to remind him that he did have the authority. At this particular point in time, and everybody knows my view on Iran, you know, with Ahmadinejad and the fact that, you know, I believe that, I don't know whether Ahmadinejad's a little bit naive or if it's just wishful thinking or what it is, but he seems to have the attitude, and you know, of course, you know, he knows a lot more than I do, but he seems to have the attitude that in no way, shape, or form is the United States going to preemptively strike his country. Now, do you think that's a naive thinking, or do you think that he knows something we don't know, Jim?
I think that he's probably relying on what he believes the evidence to be, which is that it would be insane. So he's thinking that cooler heads will prevail and this attack will be, for one reason or another, postponed or put off or hopefully stopped. But we know from facts that if as Bush says, he truly wants a diplomatic solution to this, then we would be talking to all the parties instead of just to Germany and France and Britain. We would be talking to Lebanon, to Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran and Iraq and Israel and the countries that are involved in that whole area. But we're not interested in talking. We only want to bludgeon them into submission. They must first comply with what Bush has told them they have to do, which is shut down their nuclear program, and then, and only then, will we talk. It doesn't make any sense, because if you actually attack Iran, you're going to destabilize so many nations. You're going to throw monkey wrenches everywhere at the same time. It's almost as though you'd be courting World War IV, in my view.
Well, it seems to me like, you know, all through since 9/11, any time a general or a government official or anybody of any authority has had the, you know, the gumption or the gonads or however you want to put it, to step up to the plate and try to be realistic with these people, they are let go. They are relieved of their position. They're shipped off somewhere else. And in this case, you know, with Bob Gates, and this is why I asked you the question of, you know, who, if anybody, has the authority to have Bob Gates step down, because obviously we know what Cheney's position is. We know what Condi Rice's position is. I mean, all these people want to go in and just basically make Iran into a parking lot.
Right.
So, you know, with that in mind.
There's one other thing you might want to consider, and that is that why are U.S. generals having meetings with heads of state as though they were part of the Department of State? We have Petraeus making policy. he's talking to heads of state as though he were the Secretary of State. That's never happened before, to my...
Okay, I got to stop you. We got to take a break. We'll be back in three in a longer segment coming up. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest Jim Kerwin. Stick with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest Jim Kerwin. We're talking about this, the authority. Who has the final authority to order an attack on Iran? And evidently it's not President Bush. Go ahead, Jim. Continue.
That question you keep having, and I don't seem to be able to answer, the one about Mr. Gates, is that he represents that other element of his father's point of view. The group that put forward that suggestion when they were trying so hard to figure out a way out of the nightmare and bringing the troops home, and Bush rejected everything, but they ended up with Gates as the Secretary of Defense. He's somebody that comes from the age where you have to have reasons and you have to be sentient and it has to make sense. That alone is enough to disqualify him from the Bush camp. But he's in that position somehow, some way, and I think it was some kind of a forced compromise that if Bush was going to continue with his farce, that he would have to allow in a member of the opposite point of view. That's what he's up against, And that's partly why it doesn't read very clearly when he comes up four square against, and he's the Secretary of Defense, and yet you hear more from all these dissident people that were in the various capacities in the administration, like Bolton and his crowd, and Cheney. And Cheney doesn't really have any authority to make a U.S. policy on his own based on the office of the vice presidency. He's just a figurehead, but he's apparently not under the thumb of Mr. Bush. It's very, very strange how this is all coming about. Historians will have a field day with this if there is going to ever be a history. But somehow, some way, this has you. I think you put your finger on it, Michael, when you said this got to be sorted out. We have to have a clear chain of command. We've got to figure out who makes decisions for us to go to war and where the authority lies, and is it legal by constitutional standards.
Well, tell me off topic a little bit, what's Rumsfeld doing these days? He's still in the Pentagon, correct?
He has an office in the Pentagon, or he did up until it was announced that he was moving to Stanford. But he came back to the White House briefly about 2 weeks ago and wouldn't answer any questions, of course, as to why he was there or what he was saying. Nobody ever answers any questions anymore in the White House. And it's unclear what Mr. Rumsfeld's role is, other than I heard an old news clip today which kind of amazed me. The day before 9/11, Rumsfeld announced in a speech, I think it was to Congress, I'm not sure to who, that he was there to save the Pentagon. That was going to be his new role. This was given on 9/10/01, the day before.
Was that the same speech where he announced that the $2.3 trillion was missing from the Pentagon because the computers didn't talk to each other?
Could be. I'm not
okay.
Sure.
Go ahead.
But the point of his message was that he had come to save the Pentagon from itself because it was outdated and outmoded, and he was going to be the savior, and he was going to do everything possible to fix it the very next day it was attacked. And, ironically, he was the man who had the responsibility to prevent that attack. It's a really bizarre thing. And I'd love to have more answers, and I'm sure your listeners would as well. I just don't know how you go about getting them.
Well, you know, it's something to investigate. And you know, the fact that, as I read across this article, and it looks like there's at least one sane individual in the Pentagon, and this is good for Iran. You know, it's good for the American people in one sense.
World.
True. But on the other side of the coin, now, you know, we're talking about, you know, the possibility of attacking Iran and the drums and the war beats, you know, for this preemptive strike and so forth because of their, you know, they're enriching uranium for, you know, and they're claiming that they're under the auspices of the IAEA, you know, for nuclear power. And I had the occasion last night. I met a gentleman last night. Lives here in my complex. He was introduced to me. This gentleman is half Iranian. He comes from Iran. Now, I don't know if this is just, you know, misinformation, disinformation. I don't know. But in a conversation that I was having with this gentleman last evening, he told me that he doesn't know what this is all about, because the truth of the matter is Iran has had nuclear reactors over there for years.
Mm-hmm. Remember the Israeli airstrike?
Yes.
Way back that came in and took out a nuclear facility?
Well, then if they're talking about nuclear reactors, if they already have nuclear reactors and they're already operational, what is this all about? I don't get it, because this is the big thing. Well, you know, they're not using it for nuclear reactors. They're using it to make a bomb.
It's the same run-up to the war as we had for Iraq. Weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, nuclear weapons in Iran. It's identical. Point for point for point, they're trying the exact same. The same people that told the lies before are telling the lies again. And it's completely estranged, because the people who have the weapons, who are a threat to the world, are the United States of America, Israel. We are both there. We are very belligerent, and at the same time, we're there to prevent them from becoming what we already are. It's really strange, and I don't know how you can introduce, because of the the knee-jerk reaction that has apparently succeeded as far as America's concerned. We're hell-bent on, you know, stopping this entire thing and, you know, blah, 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 blah. He's punched the freedom, I mean, the fear card to the point where a lot of people seem to now think that maybe we should do this. It's insane. We don't need another war. We need to get out of the one we're in. That's why we thought we were putting people in Congress to stop this. And instead, they've only expanded it. And it's getting worse, not better.
You know, the stock market is going up, and the reason why, I mean, the main stocks to buy these days are from defense contractors and from the prison system. I mean, that's the handwriting on the wall right mm-hmm. there, because the large majority of our manufacturing is being moved and is still being moved offshore. But you know, I'll tell you something that concerns me deeply. Another article I ran across today, Jim. Now, you're familiar with the Ed and Elaine Brown situation, the fact that they were arrested last week, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you know, we're talking about this, and we've got Bob Gates in office, and he's, you know, he's sternly opposed to the warmongering about attacking Iran. But on the flip side of the coin, if I might remind you that shortly after 9/11, Bush stood up in front of the American public and said, "They hate us because we're free." Now, that wasn't a lie, but he wasn't talking about the Muslim extremists. You know, the imaginary Muslim extremists. He was talking about the powers that be hate us because we're free. Because the only way we can go into a one world government is to take away our freedoms, which Bush has been, or whoever is behind this, has been doing a very good job of doing. And I say that to say this. I ran across an article today that ran chills up my spine. And I thought, first thing I thought of was Ed Brown, because you know about that. He was arrested last week. Okay, him and his wife were arrested. It was evidently a peaceful arrest, if there is such a thing. And within a day and a half, Elaine Brown was transferred to a facility, I believe it's in Danbury, Connecticut, and she is now in the Bureau of Prisons. Now, I've been checking the Bureau of Prisons website every day, at least 10 times a day, to see when Ed Brown's name pops up in there. And to this date, which is 6 days later, he's still not there.
The official explanation for that is that he's in transit.
He's in transit.
Put him on a donkey and send him somewhere, you know.
Right, well, an ox cart or whatever. But, yeah. You know, in looking at the testimony of Congressman Hansen, and also I know it went, Irwin Schiff went through this, there's such a thing called diesel therapy, and you're aware of that, right? But
absolutely.
Also, there's another factor to this equation that really concerns me. And again, I don't mean to fearmonger here, but in reading this article today, and I'm not going to read the whole article, but I'm going to read a few paragraphs of this article because it came to my mind. I've met Ed Brown personally, and he's a very opinionated, very strong-willed man, and he has said on numerous occasions that he wouldn't be taken alive, number one, which I think might be part of the saving grace for why he was arrested alive, because as soon as you tell the Fed that, that's a challenge to the Fed to actually take him alive and then to have their will with him and break him, if you will, right?
Right.
But I'm going to take this a step further, and I'm going to read a few paragraphs of this article, and then I'm going to ask you if you think it's a possibility that this fits in with the reason why Ed Brown has not landed anywhere. Now, let me read this to you. It's by Paul Joseph Watson. Comes out of Prison Planet today. Actually, it was September 29th. Bush is now given the authority to sexually torture American children. Now, we know they've been doing that, but they've been denying it. That was in congressional testimony put out by Deputy, Prosecutor John Wu under Gonzalez at the time.
Right.
It says, slamming the final nail in the coffin of everything America used to stand for, the boot-licking U.S. Senate last night gave President Bush the legal authority to abduct and sexually mutilate American citizens and American children in the name of war on terror. There is nothing in the detainee legislation that protects American citizens from being kidnapped by their own government and tortured. Now, a statement by Yale law professor Bruce Ackerman stated in the LA Times, the compromise legislation authorizes the president to seize American citizens as enemy combatants, which you know they've been doing. They did that to Jose Padilla, okay? But now the Senate has given their rubber stamp approval on it, and now it's legal. Even if they have never left the United States and once thrown into a military prison, they cannot expect a trial by their peers or any other of the normal protections of the Bill of Rights. And similarly, Law professor Marty Letterman explained that this subsection 2 of the definition of unlawful enemy combatant means that if the Pentagon says you're an unlawful enemy combatant using whatever criteria that they wish, then as far as Congress and U.S. law is concerned, you are one, whether or not you have had any connection to hostilities at all. Now, let me stop right there and say this. Do you think it's possible, because I know that the administration, George Bush, Ron Paul, these people all knew who Ed Brown was, okay? He was a subject of national attention, and it was brought to their attention, and this standoff made it through it worldwide press coverage because I was there, and I saw the satellite feeds, okay?
Right.
So do you think it's possible that these people have determined that it is a federal case, determined because of the statements that Ed Brown has made in the past, that they've declared him an enemy combatant, shipped him off to Guantanamo Bay or Egypt or wherever, and they're torturing him? Do you think that's a possibility?
Well, as you know very well, anything is possible under this administration. And personally, I think it's more than likely, simply because they need to have this resolved, and they want to be able to say that he said and did outrageous things, and their only methodology for coming up with that, apparently the only thing they believe in, is rendition. And, you know, all the things that go with rendition, which you just cited that the Senate just agreed with. By the way, the Supreme Court just threw out a major case that they, based on the government's stated objective, which was that they couldn't go to continue with the trial simply because it would violate state secrets of the United States. And that automatically makes everything. In other words, if whatever anyone does, including Mr. Brown, is deemed to be in contrary to the national interest of the United States, then anything can be done to that person. And nothing can be brought to court. Because nobody challenged the right of the court to automatically dismiss the case because the government said, without proving it, that it would violate national security, then that went forward. In other words, we, without that protection, which the Supreme Court apparently seemed to overlook by making this ruling, we automatically end up in a police state. They just basically made us into a fascist police state overnight with that one ruling. And that was yesterday, I think, or the day before. And it went by. Nobody particularly got alarmed. So in light of that, I agree. Something dire has probably happened to Ed. There's no reason for him to disappear for 6 days.
Right, but it extends farther than that. Now, believe me, I mean, I really fear for Ed. I mean, I've met Ed personally, but it extends way beyond Ed. And as we know how this administration and how this government has worked for years, now they have put it in high gear since 9/11, but it's always been incrementalism. They've always, you know, just like the frog in the pot, stepped it up a little bit more regulations, more laws, and so forth. But now the gloves have come off. And what I see going on here is it doesn't just extend to Ed. It extends to the number of people that have been. There's four other individuals that were arrested for association with Ed and charges, which in my mind have been trumped up on some of these people. Okay, but also it's extending further out than that. Now they're out running all over New Hampshire questioning people that were affiliated with Ed Brown. But what I see happening here is that they're literally seems to be a parallel set of laws. In other words, as long as you bow down, lick their boots, and comply with the system, they'll give you the illusion that a constitution still exists. Now, I went through that personally back in this court thing that I went through back in February for getting a misdemeanor ticket with a wrong plate on my car. But the reality is, if somebody steps up to the plate and says, okay, well, in this particular case, this man made a statement, he went on the radio, or he had made an allegation that he was going to shoot in the woods or whatever, and it doesn't just extend to Ed Brown. It extends to you. It extends to me. It extends to all of our listeners. Anybody that makes a statement, you know, add that to the hate crimes legislation that the Senate just passed, and we literally not only are living in a police state, but we have graduated into what I would deem to be 1933 Nazi Germany, where the brown shirts were knocking on people's doors.
It's a no man's land. And that's where we've arrived at, a no man's land. The huge thing about all of this is that, for instance, have you seen that those guys, those other people, show up on the detained list? I mean, as in federal prison.
Actually, they've been charged, so they wouldn't be in federal prison yet. They would just be in custody. They're not assigned to the Bureau. I don't know. I know that they're in custody. Now, I haven't, and I'll be honest with you, I have not followed where they are. Now, the last time I talked to Tim Wingate, who's also a host on this network, and he hosts the Edna Lane Brown Show, he had mentioned to me that, yes, they are indeed still in custody. Now, whereabouts they are is anybody's guess. I don't know. But until such time as they are, you know, convicted of a crime, if you will, then after that, it takes usually a couple of weeks to 6 weeks to process them through and so forth. And then they're assigned to the Bureau of Prisons, and then they are, you know, escorted, you know, that in transit, and they go there. The problem here is that Ed Brown stood up and made a stand, not only for himself, but for all Americans. Now, I know that Irwin Schiff did the same thing a year and a half ago. Actually, I think it was about a year ago. Okay, he was in trial. And I know that when they convicted Irwin Schiff, they did the same thing. They did the diesel therapy thing on him and ran around the country for 2 months on a bus. Be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. We'll continue with this discussion when we get back. Stick with us, and then I'll open up the lines after the first of the hour. Be right back.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, Jim Kerwin. And Jim, you know, you know, since the Senate passed this, I mean, now it's entering into legislation, and I know Bush will sign it if he hasn't already. This gives the administration carte blanche to point a finger at whoever they wish and say, well, this guy's an enemy combatant because he said, or we thought he said, or, you know, it could be hearsay, it could be whatever. But as long as they say so, well, your Constitution, your Bill of Rights goes right down the toilet with that. I mean, literally, it is the final nail in the coffin. And the question I have for you is, excuse me, all these police and marshals, federal agents, and that are running around here questioning people. I mean, these guys have kids. These guys have families, a lot of them. Do you think that they're intellectual enough or critical thinking enough to realize that at some point in time, as they continue to step this up, and it gets worse? Do you think at some point in time these police and these feds will wake up and say, "Wait a minute here, this can happen to my own"? Go ahead.
That's actually the something I wanted to talk about as a footnote to the Ed Brown story. The police brutality of late is definitely following the pattern set by the feds. There can be now no resistance tolerated. The only way to survive an arrest is to comply. Resistance is futile. And that you see across the country. It's escalating. And in light of what you just said, I would hope that at some point these guys and gals would wake up and remember that they too are people and that this could happen to them. While they're doing it, they apparently are not aware of that. But at some point at 4 in the morning, aren't they thinking, my God, what would happen if they came to my house? How could I prove that I was, because you can't prove anything. You can't prove a negative. You can't prove you didn't do something. You didn't say something. And with technology the way it is today, because it's pretty easy to plant stuff on somebody. But we see this every day, and the reaction of the public to this excessive brutality by law enforcement at all different levels in the country is going up at a rate that's staggering. It's unbelievable that people in this country wearing uniforms can behave this way toward their fellow citizens. They're not there to protect us. They're there to challenge us. And any sign of resistance to what they came to do is met with brutal force. And we have 180 instances of people dying in police custody that the Justice Department is supposed to be investigating, but we haven't heard boo about that. Not one word about the people that died in police custody. They're just, you know, twiddling their thumbs. Well, the Justice Department is going to investigate, like, right. And if you're waiting for that, you might as well be waiting for the good tooth fairy.
Well, you know, the way I look at this, Jim, as this escalates, just as, you know, history, if we don't learn by history, it repeats itself. Just as what happened in Nazi Germany back in the 30s, mm-hmm. as this escalates, you know, the incrementalism, the more they continue to take, and we've seen this happening, the more they continue to get, you know, increasingly more bold in their actions, that they can literally point a finger at anybody. And when you talk about, well, the only thing that you can do is not resist, even when you don't resist, and I've seen many, many video clips of this, and I have a colleague, not a colleague, but he's an acquaintance that this happened to right here in Phoenix, where even if you resist, they will shout out for the sake of the public within earshot, don't resist, when you're not resisting, and they'll taser you anyway.
Oh,
then they have the
mind is the guy that asked Carrie a question,
right?
And we all saw that on film,
right? They'll shout that out. They'll taser you anyway, and then they'll use that as their defense in saying, "Well, he resisted." Well, no, this guy didn't resist. He looked to me like a jellyfish. Okay, and this is happening
to them, and they've got you on the floor. You can't see what you know, and that's going to be their defense.
Exactly. Okay, well, we're coming up to a break in the top of the hour. I'm going to open the phone lines after the top of the hour for any questions or comments for Jim Kerwin. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest Jim Kerwin. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Stick with us. We've got a lot more.